Hello and welcome to Books Podcast and Politics Weekly listeners. I'm Richard Lee from the Books Desk at The Guardian, where this week we're publishing a series of extracts from Mohamedou Ould Slahi's Guantanamo diary. Written in his single-cell segregation hut at Camp Echo in 2005, this 466-page manuscript tells the story of his arrest, torture, and the imprisonment without charge which continues to this day, more than 13 years after he was first detained. But the regime under which he's currently held means that his words were classified from the moment he set them down on paper. After years of litigation and 2,500 US government redactions, Slahi's memoir is finally being published. We've teamed up with Canongate Books to present the full declassified manuscript online at guantanamodiary.com, as well as a series of extracts from his ordeal at the Guardian website. With Slahi still locked up in Guantanamo Bay, we've assembled a group of celebrated writers, actors and cultural figures, including Harry Kunzru, Benedict Cumberbatch and Shami Chakrabarti, to bring his words to life on this special podcast series.
Several months into his time at Guantanamo, Mohamedou confronts his interrogators about the blocking of mail from his family. While other neighbouring detainees receive and share their correspondence with each other, no mail ever arrives for him, and he begins to dream about receiving letters from his family.
During my conversation with and his associate, I brought up an issue that I believe to be basic. Why are you guys banning my incoming mails? I checked, but you have none. You're trying to say that my family is refusing to respond to me. The brothers in the block felt bad for me. I was dreaming almost every night that I had received mail from my family. I always passed on my dreams to my next-door neighbours, and the dream interpreters always gave me hope, but no mails came. "I dreamt that you got a letter from your family," was a common phrase I used to hear. It was so hard for me to see other detainees having pictures of their families, and having nothing, zip, myself. Not that I wished they never got letters, on the contrary, I was happy for them. I read their correspondences as if they were from my own mum. It was customary to pass newly received mails throughout the block and let everybody read them, even the most intimate ones, from lovers to the beloved. He was dying to get me cooperating with him, and he knew that I had brought my issue to the detainees, so he was working with the mail people to get me something. A recipe was prepared and cooked, and around 5 p.m, the postman showed up at my cell and handed me a letter, supposedly from my brother. Even before I read the letter, I shouted to the rest of the block, "I received a letter from my family. See, my dreams have come true, didn't I tell you?" From everywhere, my fellow detainees shouted back, "Congratulations! Pass me the letter when you're done." I hungrily started to read, but I soon got a shock. The letter was a cheap forgery. It was not from my family. It was the production of the intel community. "Dear brothers, I received no letter. I am sorry." "Bastards, they've done this with other detainees," said a neighbour. But the forgery was so clumsy and unprofessional that no fool would fall for it. First, I have no brother with that name. Second, my name was misspelled. Third, my family doesn't live where the correspondent mentioned, though it was close. Fourth, I know not only the handwriting of every single member of my family, but also the way each one phrases their ideas. The letter was kind of a sermon. "Be patient like your ancestors, and have faith that Allah is going to reward you." I was so mad at this attempt to defraud me and play with my emotions. The next day, pulled me for interrogation. "How's your family doing?" "I hope they're doing well. I've been working to get you the letter." "Thank you very much. Good effort. But if you guys want to forge mail, let me give you some advice." "What are you talking about?" I smiled. "If you don't really know, it's okay, but it was cheap to forge a message and make me believe I have contact with my dear family," I said, handing the strange letter back.
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.